Have you ever been driving along in your car when all of a sudden there is a noise that makes your heart drop and you go, "That does not sound right"? Has that ever happened to you? You don't know, like, it's not loud enough that makes you stop right away. It's not clear enough to help you diagnose it right away. But you know that something is just off. And all of a sudden, your mind is racing through all the worst-case scenarios. That does not sound right. Like, how long has this been going on? Did I not notice this before? And so you turn the radio off and you grip the steering wheel a little bit tighter, but your focus is definitely divided between the road and trying to listen for where is this sound coming from in my vehicle? And so you're still moving down the road, but your peace is gone. And you start wondering, how much is this going to cost? And if you're anything like me, you usually don't pull over right away. You just keep going and you hope that the problem's gonna go away on its own until a couple days later when it comes back and it's louder. And then you're really unsettled. You understand that feeling? You can get in touch with that feeling. That feeling is a sense of fear. And we can have that feeling even in our spiritual lives as well. Something feels off. And instead of slowing down and addressing the issue with God, we usually just keep going while assuming the worst. And so we keep moving through life with that constant sense that something isn't quite right. We might lose more than we can afford. And when we're living with that low-grade weight at all times, it's really hard to be open to the possibilities and the opportunities that God gives us to be a part of his mission because now our focus is divided. But that's what we've been talking about this whole month. There's a difference between striving for God's love and acceptance and living from it, receiving his love and acceptance. Because for most of us, when we don't feel secure or settled, we try to secure ourselves. We grip harder. We try to manage outcomes. We try to control how others perceive us. And we bring that into our faith as well, right? Like, we try to act good, try to do the right Christian things so that God will love us and take care of us. Because, I mean, we know that nothing else in the world is really actually secure. We're all just floating around in this tumultuous sea of culture and striving and trying to get ahead and trying to experience the American dream, and we're grabbing at anything that feels solid. But when something doesn't feel right, when we're uncertain of when the other shoe's gonna drop, when we're living in that constant state of low-grade fear, fear usually makes us grab onto the wrong things. And so we've been spending this whole month trying to figure out how to receive God's love so that we can live from it, not striving for it. And the Apostle John in our passage today, he's gonna say that fear and love cannot coexist in their fullness. Living in a state of fear, when that's a norm, that means that we're not experiencing the fullness of God's love. Now, John doesn't say that the presence of fear means that God's love is gone. He's not saying that when we fear, we've lost God's love. Remember, because of Jesus, you cannot lose God's love for you. But fear is a signal that we need to pay attention to. It's a signal that we're not fully resting in God's love. So with that, open your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 4. If you're using the Black Seaback Bible that's in front of you, it's on page 188, but you can open up your own Bible or open up your Bible app on your phone, and you're gonna start hearing me say this a lot more. Open your Bible, or bring your Bible with you to church because, man, we need to be in the Word together. But as you're finding it, we're gonna be reading this whole passage again, 1 John 4, 7 through 21. But today we're gonna be looking at that final section because we wanna be constantly reminded that we do not earn God's love. It's offered us freely and fully because God is love. But we want to be able to receive that love so that it can fill us up to overflow. But what happens when we experience that fear that we've already talked about? Because if we misread fear, we're either going to panic or we're going to withdraw. And then fear is steering the car. But if we read fear correctly in the way that our passage lays out, it actually becomes an invitation to return to the love of God. So let's read together. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God. God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, but hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, we're going to look at that final section today, but we need to remember that God is love, and he has given us his love first. He has secured our place as his beloved ones through the sacrifice of Jesus and the indwelling of the Spirit. And the Apostle John, he wants us to know that when we rest in God's love and we let it overflow out of us towards others, that's when we experience the fullness of what love is. That's when God's love reached its perfected, complete design. And receiving and sharing that love, it's supposed to produce in us confidence and boldness. I like the way that the NIV translation says, it's similar to our translation. The NIV says it this way: this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. How is his love made complete? By this, by everything that we've read so far in the passage, by the principles that were stated above, by recognizing that God loved us so much before we ever loved him. He loved us so much that he sent the Son on our behalf. By this, God's love is made complete, is perfected. And remember, we talked about this last week. God's love isn't incomplete without us, right? It's not in need of improving. It's just that God's love has always been designed to be received by us and then shared with others as it overflows out of us. And so it reaches its full design when that happens. It's made complete, so that we will have boldness, so that we will have confidence when we stand before God. The immediate result of God's perfected love isn't our action to do more things, it's our assurance, so that we don't have to wonder, are we still secure with God? No, his love at work in us gives us that assurance. But John knows we don't all live with that confidence at all times. In fact, it's way more common to live with a sense of that low-grade fear we talked about. But John defines fear in a very specific way for the purposes of this passage. He's not talking about anxiety in general, right? He's not just talking about an overactive worry gene that some of us have. John is saying fear has to do with punishment. And I want to sit with this for a second because I think it's going to give us an unlock for many of us. Some of you experience fear regularly, but maybe you haven't articulated it quite this way. And some of you don't think you experience fear all that often. But when our passage says that it has to do with punishment, maybe it's going to bring some things into a new light for you. Because fear assumes I might still be on the hook. Fear says, this might not end well for me. I need to be hyper vigilant. I need to make sure that I work hard enough to make sure that the other shoe doesn't drop. And those fears aren't irrational. Like, we all live with very reasonable, real fears all the time. If you've ever worked in our ag business, if you know, whether you have farmers in your family or you farm, farmers know what this feels like anytime the weather report changes for the umpteenth time that week, right? Because you've planted when you're supposed to, you've done all the things you're supposed to, but one late frost, one extra long season with too little rain can undo months of work. And so fear whispers, what if this is the year that it doesn't work out? What if this is the year that I fall behind? And you might not use the word punishment, but it's still there underneath the fear because you're thinking, well, if this fails, I'm going to be the one who pays for it. Another way that fear shows up is for the parent who's maybe hearing the news about another round of layoffs. Because you're already stretching the grocery budget. You're already comparing gas prices. The math is always going in your head, and fear says, what if his job isn't as secure as I hoped? What if we can't keep up? What if I can't do enough to help? Fear has to do with punishment when we think if something goes wrong, we're the ones who suffer. Now, fear can also hit us when you've raised your children and you've launched them, but the distance maybe seems to be growing because you love your kids, you adore your grandkids, but the world feels different now. You don't always understand the lingo. You're not always sure how to connect. You're afraid of saying the wrong thing. And fear says, what if I've already missed the moment to keep this relationship? What if I'm being left behind? And if you're still young, teenager, or in your 20s, fear hits you as you look at your future. Because college isn't necessarily a guarantee. The job market always feels unstable. Housing prices keep going up. And we haven't even talked about college loans. And so fear says, what if I never catch up? What if I make one wrong move and it costs me everything? Fear has to do with punishment because it punishes us by keeping us awake at night, replaying the conversations that we wish we could do over. It punishes us when we feel like we have to overexplain ourselves just to avoid rejection. Fear shows up when we hesitate to speak about our faith because we don't have the right words or because we're afraid of backlash. It shows up in the way that we overwork and keep pushing so that no one can accuse us of slacking. See, that's not just worry or anxiety. That's fear that is assuming that punishment is right around the corner. The jury is still out on us. I might still be on the hook. I have to make sure to get a hold of it all because there's no safety net. But John wants to make it clear to us. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. Fear and love are mutually exclusive because living in a state of fear, whether it's just being afraid that maybe God doesn't fully love me, or maybe it's being afraid that we aren't doing enough, living in that state of fear, it paralyzes us. Fear doesn't motivate love, it freezes love. It makes us go into self-protection mode, but perfect love, God's love that is made complete in our receiving, our resting, our overflowing, our sharing, perfected love drives out fear. God's completed love displaces fear because punishment has been removed. See, when we do the work of reminding ourselves of God's pursuing love for us, demonstrated through the cross, delivered through the sacraments, deposited in our hearts by the Spirit. When we allow ourselves to receive that love and let it fill us and overflow out of us towards others, that pushes out the fear of the other shoe dropping because he first loved us. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because he chose us before the foundation of the world. Perfected, complete love casts out fear. And because of Jesus, we know that we don't need to muster up that kind of love. We don't create it. We love because he first loved us. And that love results in loving others. Our love for others is a byproduct of our love from God. See, this final part of our passage, it's not telling us that we have to love others in order to love God. He's not giving us a final to-do. He's giving us a diagnostic. Because fear is a signal that something isn't quite right under the hood. It's an invitation to return to the love of God. But this is also another signal, whether or not we're loving towards others. Because remember, the Apostle John, he's writing to a group of churches that have experienced division and fighting. They've taken sides against one another. They're lobbing attacks and insults at each other. Each of them are claiming to be the real followers of Jesus. No, we're the real followers of God. And John is calling them back to their first love, because only then will it overflow out of them into a life of love. And if love isn't flowing out of you towards others, well, that means that something's blocked upstream. That means that maybe we're listening to fear, and that's squelching the love that God wants to pour into us and through us. But the good news that we need to hear today is that God's love for you is secure. It's a settled promise. God is not on the fence about you. He chose you as his beloved child and loved you first before you could ever show love to him. Christ came to clear the slate of your sin so that even your brokenness wouldn't stand in the way of your relationship with him. Punishment was already taken care of at the cross. Eternal, abundant life was secured by the resurrection of Jesus, and the Spirit was given as a down payment for our eternal inheritance so that we could experience the fullness of God's love even here and now, flowing in us, through us. And so if you're still battling fear, that doesn't mean that God's love for you is slipping. It doesn't mean that you're failing. It doesn't mean that you're about to lose everything that you hold dear, because fear is not a warning that God's done with you. Fear is just a dashboard light to let you know that you need to fix the alignment of your heart. And that light popping on the dashboard doesn't mean the engine's ruined. It just means that something needs attention. And the God who calls you his beloved child loves to give you the attention you need. You are worth the time to him. See, when you feel fear in your life, it's an invitation from God to pull over, not speed up. It's an invitation to receive help and healing from him, not perform better. It's an invitation to abide in him, not panic. Because God's love for you is a settled promise. And when I say that God's love is a settled promise, I mean it's not under review. It's not awaiting more information. It's not hanging in the balance of your latest performance or failure. It's settled because God loves you first. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. It's settled because Jesus took the punishment, right? If John is saying that punishment is the thing that fear is pointing to, and punishment has already been absorbed by Jesus on the cross, then what is left hanging over our heads? Nothing. God's love is a settled promise, because the tomb is empty. Resurrection locks it in. We aren't left to wonder whether or not Jesus' death was enough, because his resurrection proved that sin has been judged. Death has been defeated, and full abundant life is secured. We're not living in a trial period. We're living in the finished work of Jesus Christ. God's love is a settled promise for you because it rests on who God is, not on how you feel today. Because fear makes it seem like the verdict is still undecided. But the gospel says that the verdict is already in. You are a beloved child of God. And we can rest in that love because it's secured for us and it will not let us go. There's an old hymn that was written 150 years ago by a pastor named George Matheson. He's a blind pastor, and he wrote this hymn reflecting on the secured, settled promise of God's love. This is the first verse. I just love this song. Listen to these words. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give you back the life I owe, that in thy ocean's depths its flow may richer, fuller be. See, resting in the secured love of God allows us to be filled to overflowing. It leads us to a fuller life, a fuller flow of the love that God gives to us and through us. And so we get to lean into that this week. We get to turn back to God and receive his love and then simply share whatever it is that he gives us. Now, I'm not telling you that you need to give a speech about God, right? You don't need to go create some social media that's designed to go viral. You don't have to go in search of someone to fix them. Just share what God gives you, no matter how big or small. And if you're like saying, oh, what do I share to God and nothing comes to you? Well, that's okay. Don't force it. Just keep receiving. So if God spoke to you in this sermon, maybe you just share that little tidbit with someone this week. If God causes you to pause and appreciate a sunrise, maybe you just say to someone, man, God made a great sunrise today. Maybe if God gives you enough strength to make it through a particularly stressful day, you can share with someone that today was hard, but somehow God gave you enough strength to make it through. You just share what God has given to you in a sentence, an observation, simply gratitude. And we don't have to control the message. You don't have to sermonize it or try to control how it's received by the other person either. We just let what God is pouring into us spill over, trusting that it's his word that works. And as we do that more and more, we experience more and more of the perfected love of God pouring into us, growing in us, driving out fear. Because God wants you secure, not striving. He wants to make us so secure in his love that it naturally overflows. And so the next time that noise doesn't sound quite right, the next time you feel that low hum of fear in your heart, you don't have to panic. You don't have to grip tighter. You can pull over and rest in the settled promise of God's love. And when we rest secure in God's love for us, we get to experience the fullness of God's love in us and through us for the sake of our families, for the sake of our workplaces, for the sake of our neighbors, the sake of the people who don't have anything secure to hold on to and who need to be shown the love that will not let them go. And that's good news to share. Amen.